Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. There's no front. There's no head. Doing it like this. Yeah.
Good evening. Thanks for calling the voice of the people with your man, Dean Geronimo. Waiting for Todd Jones to get in on this call and see what she's going to do. I do have Dr. Swana holding on the line, and we're about to get into it real quick. We're just going to play a little music for a second, and I'll be right back. And we're back. Thanks for holding on real quick. I got the birthday boy, Mark Lee, on the line. Mark, what's going on with you, my man?
Not much. Just chilling, taking it easy on my birthday. We did a little bit of work on the main job, but decided to take it off from the second one. But you know, I couldn't let y'all down. I had to call in and do a little bit of the radio show, too. Got to do that.
Oh, we sure do appreciate it, my brother. Tonight, we got a guest with us, and it'll be Dr. C. Nicole Swana, author of How to Avoid the Superwoman Complex. Now, I think Ty set this one up. Now, her book signing, she had a book signing back in June, and we're going to talk with her about her theory of why women should avoid the Superwoman Complex, which she feels is the false belief that one person can be all things for all people perfectly. Dr. Swana hopes this book will serve as a guide for all recovering superwomen to avoid said negative effects and to make it a little easier and less stressful to take care of oneself and family. All right, so right now we're going to bring her in. Dr. Swana, good evening. You're on the Voice of the People. Right now it's Dean Geronimo and the birthday boy, Mark Lee. How you doing?
Hello, everyone. Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So you wrote a book about how to avoid the superwoman complex. All right, for two guys, can you tell us exactly what the superwoman complex is?
So the superwoman complex, or the superwoman syndrome, however you want to say it, was born kind of in the 1980s out of this idea that women were, you know, trying to hold their own both in the career, in their career in the work field, and then coming home and taking care of the families and doing a lot and succeeding and doing well. But then soon we started to realize that a lot of medical problems started to happen, a lot of stress, a lot of burnout, a lot of medical and emotional and mental health issues came out of this you know, this condition or this thought that we could do everything perfectly and be the perfect woman for everyone. And so in 1980s, when the baby boomers were working and coming out of the homes and doing that a lot, we started seeing a lot of depression and anxiety and high blood pressure, et cetera. So it's just, you know, it's something that we need to deal with.
Okay. So is it that women are doing too much all at one time? Like,
I think they're in general, we, you know, women are just conditioned to kind of do it all. You know, we take care of everyone, or, you know, and this is kind of a general statement, but the majority of us tend to put others before ourselves. So whether it's your parents who might be aging and elderly, and then your small children who need you, and your spouse, and you want to be that rock for everyone, but we do often overwhelm ourselves just because we feel like that's just what we're supposed to do, and we don't ask for help, and we don't reach out, and we don't take the time to rest and take care of ourselves. So we end up really like burning the candle at two ends.
Hey, Dr. Swiner,
go ahead.
Dr. Swiner, do you sometimes feel that part of it is that we don't want to get into particularly women into counseling and things of that nature? Because I know a lot of times people will keyed away from that, even if it's a good old-fashioned counseling from their medical doctors. And they'll, like you said, they'll try to do it all, and they'll avoid either the psychological counseling or the physical counseling. So do you find that it's happening a lot with particularly our sisters out there?
Correct. That's a big, big deal. We're just now, I'm, you know, as a family doc, I'm just now kind of seeing a trend toward people being more open to that in general. But particularly in the Black community, we shy away from, you know, taking our business outside of the house, you know, letting people in on what we're really feeling and thinking and struggling with. So absolutely has a lot to do with not reaching out, not asking for help when we need it. And not even just in terms of with counselors and therapists, but just asking for help in general. Like, I can't make this meeting, or I can't do, you know, these three things I was trying to get on my list. Can you help me with that? We tend to have a problem with that, right?
Yeah, we've even seen that on the corporate level, where particularly in the nonprofit world, where a lot of the organizations that are run by women will, like you said, they try to do it all and not want to necessarily ask for the help. So sometimes they have to choke on their pride and go ahead and ask for that help sometimes, even if they don't want to.
Because you don't want to appear to be a failure or weak. Like, you know, oh, I can handle it. I'll find a way. You know, you don't want to appear to be needy. So we tend to just do just way too much, way too much.
What does that come from? I know it's,
you know,
sometimes, oftentimes generational, but where does it end? You know what I mean? Or is it the independent way of thinking? You know, sometimes some ladies will say, you know what, I can do it and I don't need anyone to do it. So it's not, I guess it's in the, you know, they don't want to appear weak, but they want to prove that everything can be done. And we don't need the outside. You, my man, don't need to come in here and try to tell me what to do, do anything for me. I got this. And how does that affect, you know, how does that affect relationships? Because that's an interesting dynamic that, you know, when you build up those walls, you got grown boys, and you got gentlemen. And then you run across enough grown boys that you just start, that becomes the normal response. But how does one, like you said, avoid that and realize that you're dealing with a gentleman? He's trying to take down a wall, but every brick he takes down, two more go back up. So how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes from, you know, it has a lot to do with the environment that you were raised in. You know, a lot of us, some of us were, you know, we grew up in a two-parent household where there are a lot of different dynamics. Either mom and dad were both out working, coming home and handling things, or we came from a single-parent household where mom was holding it down and doing everything on her own. And, you know, you would see glimpses of dad, but he wasn't consistent. So I think in general, you know, we see our grandmothers, our aunties, our mom just handle it. You know, they dealt with the struggle and they got through it, even if they didn't end up eating or sleeping or having, you know, in general, we, as children, we grew up understanding that mommy was going to make a way. And again, that has, you know, depends on what kind of environment you grew up in. I guess even for myself, you know, growing up in a two-parent household where both of my parents worked and then came home and, you know, took care of the family and all that, I still had this sense that mommy, you know, was really the one who's kind of carrying the burden of making sure that the family was, you know, the day-to-day items. Clearly, daddy was there, and he was the strong force in the household, and he supervised everything and took care of us in general. But mommy was the day-in, day-out, you know, making sure we had food on the table, make sure the homework got done, the clothes were ready. You know, she was that one that was the go-to. And I think you just develop that. You just see that and you model it and you're like, okay, well, that's what a mommy and a wife are supposed to do, so I'm going to do that. And you make a very interesting point, your second question about how does that affect relationships. You're absolutely right, particularly sisters in general. We are very strong-minded. We're built to be very independent. You know, that's just historical. And it's hard for some, depending on how you grew up, it's hard for some to let that strong male figure in and be the leader of the relationship. And it, you know, it takes some communication and some adjusting, and, you know, men have to kind of know what kind of women they're dealing with, too, to kind of compromise and come to an understanding so you can get along better.
And Nicole, right. I think I mentioned one of our phone conversations about another book that was out there sometime, I think back in the 80s, that dealt with that same kind of stereotype called The Myth of Black Macho and the Superwoman, which was written by the feminist Michelle Wallace, who I believe teaches up at NYU now. So it sounds to me like this contrast, that there's actually two stereotypes going on, because I think that black macho stereotype is still out there. I mean, we always hear about the Latin machismo, but there's definitely a little bit of that black macho that's out there as well.
Correct. And that's hard. I'm sure that's hard for, you know, for men to deal with, too. And there's definitely a Superman complex, too. I mean, men deal with it as well. It's just kind of coming to the forefront for women nowadays with a lot of the medical issues that we deal with that can be linked back to stress. And then for everyone in general, but definitely for women. We have to do a better job taking care of ourselves.
How is the book been received so far?
I didn't hear you.
I said, how has the book been received so far when you've gone out on these?
Personally, I think it's doing well. I don't know. Others will have to tell me from the outside looking in. But it was, since its release in March, I feel like it, you know, I'm in Durham, North Carolina, so I'm out here in the Triangle just trying to push the word and spread the word about it. Mr. Lee and I were, I was actually lucky to have met him at one of the Read Local, I think was it not the inaugural Read
it
Local
was the
Book
inaugural.
Fest?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Exactly. So, I mean, that it's been a blessing to be able to go out into the community and do some book fairs, and I've, you know, done some book signings and some event. You mentioned the event at one of the local libraries I did last month. It's been a lot of fun to be able to talk to people and talk about medicine, but in a different way, something that is a little bit more fun and casual and off the cuff. It's been a lot of fun.
Okay. What is your specialty as far as medicine?
Mm-hmm. I deal with family medicine, which is, you know, okay. I see from the cradle to the grave. Yeah, I see babies fresh out of the hospital, fresh newborns up to 99.9 and everything in between. But my niche population appears to, I have a lot of young families, it seems like. And that's kind of where this idea was kind of, I was stimulated or motivated to do this this topic in particular, because I see a lot of young, either working moms taking care of their families or stay-at-home moms taking care of their families. And myself, I was married 6 years ago, and I have two small ones at home and trying to work a full-time job and all that. I could relate to a lot of the female patients I was seeing. And so we just kind of bounced ideas off of one another, and that's kind of where the idea of doing something like this on the Superwoman Complex came from.
And I would imagine it's kind of really taken off really well in Durham, since Durham is such an entrepreneurial city, and there's quite a few entrepreneurs that are coming out of the women population and also out of the, as you put it, the divorcing and the separated population. I know of at least, probably 10, if not more, that have started their own business, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes out of desire.
That's right. Yeah. I'll shout out my good friends, Dr. Bobby Banks and Dr. Margaret Brunson, who are both PhDs in the area, and we've done some events together, such as Women's Empowerment and some, you know, kind of meet and greet conversation and cocktail hours with other young women, and it's been a lot of fun to meet other authors and other, particularly, you know, female professionals in the area. So, yeah, Durham definitely has a wealth of knowledge up and coming.
Sound like North Carolina's the place to be right now.
Right, Mark?
Keep telling you
say it's a popping,
keep telling
it's a
you
popping
that,
place, right?
Yeah, keep telling you.
Wait, you know what? My brother, I got to get a few more years of these people's money up here in New Jersey, man. And then I could, you know, make my way back down that way. I'm originally from Virginia, so, you know, make my way back somewhere down there, but, you know, got to bring that pension with me.
Understood.
I mean, I'm saying, you know, I mean, those two low people are still looking for me. Don't tell nobody, but, you know, I decided to go back to school and dodge them for a little while longer. And hopefully, you know, they'll stop looking. But I'm lying. They're not going to stop looking. They can find you in a foxhole, boy.
Never. They
I'm 30
never
years out and they still looking for me.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm on the back of some milk cartons. You know, like, have you seen
I don't even want to talk about college and med school. I don't even want to talk about that.
But you know what? They shout out to you, because there's something that I know I would not do. You know, I mean, that's a job that I have. I would not have the patience for, period. School
well, I mean, you never know.
I don't think I'm not built for that. I'm serious. I'm not. If I told you what I do for a living, maybe you understand. You know, I work
what
in corrections.
What do you do for a living?
So I work in corrections.
What did you say?
So
oh, wow.
I work in corrections. So, you know, like, that part, I leave it up to the professionals with the compassion and all of that good stuff. You know,
I
my job now, you know, we try to get guys to think a different way so that when they get out of prison, they stay out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes it can be challenging, as with any job, I mean, you know, but at the same time, I know that, you know, I've been in hospitals and I've seen how, you know, even in a doctor's office, you see how people
mm-hmm.
sometimes interact when they get to panic stage.
Right.
And I was like, you
right.
know what, I don't know how you do it. You know, it's like they're panicking, but they have like a chest cold. And it's like,
right.
really, did you just curse the doctor out because you've been sneezing for the last couple of days, but you're
correct.
Allergic to dust, and, you know, you knew you were allergic to dust, so now you're going to cuss the doctor out? Are you serious?
Yeah,
like,
you deal
that.
With people. Yeah, you deal with people of different varieties, and you're right. Some people, most people hate coming to the doctor to begin with. So coming into the doctor is rarely a pleasant, unless you're like OBGYN where you have happy pregnant patients and they're feeling well and doing well. But, you know, in general, most people hate coming to the doctor. They're usually sick or in pain or they're stressed out or they think you're going to tell them something bad. So, yeah, you have to meet them where they are. And so, you know, I try to be pleasant and positive and upbeat so, you know, people will want to, don't feel as fearful with coming in and seeing their doc. But, yeah, you're right. But I definitely cannot do what you do. I'd be fearful working in that kind of environment all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
16 years in, I'm probably, you know, I'm used to it. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes one of those things where I guess whatever you do becomes a part of who you are, and you know, you make the best of it. You try to help people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we are in helping professions, just on totally
mm-hmm.
different end, you
mm-hmm.
know. And some days, I try to tell some people, if you leave and you think that you haven't done something, you probably didn't, and,
mm-hmm.
and you have to.
It's sort of your ministry, right? That's essentially how
sense,
I feel about
yeah.
medicine. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's a struggle,
I know
it's a challenge.
Very challenging. And you try to, you know, you try to make the best of it. But like I said, I guess because I've been in where I've been, you know, and you see those folks and I'm like, will you shut up? You know, like, I can tell you something that's wrong with me that'll make you really go home and be thankful that you don't have to deal with some of the things that I've dealt with, you know, but
mm-hmm.
you can't really say anything because I'm not the doctor, you know, because they'll turn around and say, well, you tell me what's wrong with me. Well, other than that you're crazy, I don't know. You know, I could make up some stuff. You know what? You can say that because they already made the copayment. What are they going to do? Walk out? All right, you walk out.
They can't walk out.
All right, I'll let you later. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
See you later because you'll be back. But if I say it, they're going to be like, yo, this crazy dude was in the office talking about me, you know?
Yeah.
Nicole, just out of curiosity, have you ever had to tell somebody that they were crazy or offbeat and they not want to accept that news?
I try not to use the word crazy in practice, but I get around it. So mentally
disturbed.
Right, no. If I think you're depressed, or I think you're thinking a little illogically, or that doesn't quite make sense, does it? You know, I try to push you to that point of thinking, yeah, you're probably right. What I'm saying doesn't make much sense. You know, but we really try not to use the word crazy because we don't want to put that stigma on people so that they don't feel like they can come and be open and talk about what's really bothered them. And if they have crazy thoughts, we want them to be honest about it, you know. So, but yeah, I'll talk around it. I'll talk around the crazy. I have this saying that says I meet people at their crazy. So, you know, if they come in a little, acting a little off, then I may have to, you know, I may have to meet them there. Like, oh yeah, absolutely. You see flying monkeys? Okay, that's fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's really happening. You know, you have to kind of meet them where they are. Yeah.
You know what? That's real interesting. So you in there getting crazy with the crazy.
You gotta meet them at the crazy. Mm-hmm. So they'll trust you.
You know what?
So, okay.
You can do. It's all a mind game, and I understand exactly what you're saying because, you know, if people think that you are the craziest person, they tend to back off a little bit, and you know, they kind of like, well, I can't really mess with him because he's nuts. I'm like, no, I'm not nuts. I'm just mentally unstable. It's a big difference. You know, when you're mentally unstable, you can do some crazy things and get away with it.
Right.
Now, how do you ever play this game?
And Nicole and Dean, I can't really talk because when I'm not at Haytown or doing my arts and cultural stuff, which of course has its own craziness, I work at a testing place called Measurement that has a variety of people that used to be ex-teachers and all kinds of people that had professional jobs. And it's a job that pays decent but not great. So it has a tendency, but it's got real flexibility. So Nicole, you would have a real good time if you came into that particular office because you would find all kinds of nuances and things going on in this particular office. I mean, we all come together for a common goal. We all come together for the common goal of grading the end-of-the-year test. But, I mean, some of these people, I mean, I know that there's at least one guy that's got Asperger syndrome. There's a couple of with autism.
Oh.
There's a variety of people that find it hard to get a 9-to-5 job and need some flexibility, so they might break that.
That sounds like an interesting environment. Yeah, yeah.
It is.
Also,
don't use the word crazy.
Jumping over there where
the
you
word crazy.
No.
So
wow.
Mark, you said jumping over there where you are.
Say what?
You said it's jumping over there where you are. It's a big party.
Oh, it's a big party. Sometimes folks be saying something, you be sitting there going like, what did you just say?
Right. So you have had to learn to communicate differently, right, because of some of those conditions, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Meet them where they are. That's right.
You have to learn how to adjust influence. Like I said, I started off as a reader, just a regular reader, but they have different levels, and one of those levels is being a team leader, which means that you also have to supervise those people. So, yeah, I've had to supervise some people that on a day-to-day, like going into them in just a regular neighborhood and hanging out with them, I don't think we'd be doing that. But, you know, to work with them, I found ways to cope with their idiosyncrasies, and they find ways to cope with mine, because we all have idiosyncrasies, whether we want to admit
That's
it or
right.
not.
That's right. Correct.
So it's one of those things, huh?
Yeah.
So what do you tell?
What'd you say?
I said I'm sure even Dean has idiosyncrasies.
Everybody.
Oh,
everybody
I got
is special.
A lot of...
Everyone is interesting in their own way. That's right.
Well, you know what? I tell people I'm a very unique individual. So. That encompasses everything. You know, I'm going to let you figure out which one you want it to be, and we're just going to roll with it. You know, we're not gonna spend a lot of time trying to figure this out because I might not agree with your assessment. So whatever your assessment may be, you know, that's what we're going to roll with for right now.
How do you deal with the different personalities in the, you know, behind bars with the inmates? Like, how do you deal with those types of personalities?
Well, I've learned to become a chameleon. So I am your mirror. You know, whatever you give to me, That's what I'm going to give back to you. You get the same level of respect that you get, you know, and I'm not going to overstep those bounds and try to be like Superman or try to put undue pressure on you or anything like that. I'll just, like you said, I'm meeting you, but I'm giving you what you gave to me. And what I found in 16 years is a lot of people can't take what they get, you know, and it's interesting because they can give it. They give it very well. I mean, they are great givers, but when it's given back to them, they cannot handle it. I mean, they break down, you know, they start falling to pieces. It's like, well, wait a minute. You were the same individual that said, I'm a man, I can handle this and I can do these things. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So now we have an understanding. You can't. And you won't.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to give that to you with a level of respect. Now I've confused you. And, you know, when they get it that way, they really don't know how to handle how it comes, because it's almost like, was he being rude? Was he being smart? Or did he honestly treat me as a person? I'm not really figuring out who this is. Well, that's not my job, is for you not to figure me out. Because the second you figure me out, the game is over. So now let's keep playing the game. And in the process, I'm going to get you to learn something new, think a different way. You know, yeah, my square way of thinking has kept me out of prison on that side of the bar. So I want to give you something so that you can take it. And when you get out, you can use it, pass it on, or whatever you do with it. But as long as you don't come back this way, then maybe I've done something right. So that's.
And I always wonder how many of them are dealing with some, I would assume, I don't know any numbers on it, but I would imagine that a lot of those folks are dealing with some underlying mental health issues that they never got checked out. And so they acted out in ways because they didn't know how to deal with, you know, depression or anxiety or schizophrenia and other types of things that, you know, if you are unmedicated and, you know, you don't seek help for, can cause a lot of behavioral issues and legal issues. And I just wonder how much of that is always underlying.
There are those who have been diagnosed as, you know, with some form of mental health issue. And surprisingly, not a lot of those are your problem people. You know, you end up getting your problem people, and it's like, man, I don't need you to give me hell. I just need you to do those things that, you know, I mean, it's just not difficult. You know, it's not difficult at all. I just need you to work with me. Help me help you. And if you do those things, you know, we can possibly get somewhere. And I guess going back to the main theme, what do you do when you try to counsel a superwoman? And she says, you know what, Doc? I'm going to keep it real with you. This is what I do. This is how I do it. And nothing you say will make me change my mind. What do you do?
I mean, then you just have to kind of leave it at that. I mean, you can't help a person. You can't want to help a person more than they want to help themselves. Like you said, you have to have them help you help them. So all you can do is give them good advice, you know, have a listening ear and tell them what you have helped other people to achieve by doing these types of things. So, you know, and not every patient will be treated the same way. You know, say I have a patient who's coming in with high blood pressure, or they're stressed out, or they can't sleep, and or they have stress, tension, headaches because of different things. And I say, well, you know, you probably need to do this or take medicine or exercise, et cetera. Or even, this is a perfect example, is to talk about vaccinations. You know, I think you need this shot to protect you from this disease. There are plenty of folks who just outright refuse them. And you say, okay, well,
wow,
this is what the research says, this is what the literature says, I want to protect you from this, you know, but you have a choice. They have a choice to accept or refuse it, and all you can do is, you know, is say, okay, God bless you, I think you should have it, but ultimately it's your decision. And then you document in your chart, on your note, I, you know, told patient the pros and cons of this, and they decided against it. So that's really all you can do is give them information so that they can make an educated decision about their health, and then they make the ultimate choice.
Wow. Doctor, don't you find some of that also impacts on people's relationships, so you like not just the marriage relationships, but also those that are single and things of that nature? Because I find that sometimes you'll find people out there that are having these different things that are going on in their personalities, be it bipolar activities, be it whatever, that for whatever reasons don't want to deal with those issues, and therefore they bring that into the relationships, oftentimes find themselves repeating the same thing over and over and then wondering why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, clearly it would be very difficult to be able to show outward love to another person or be able to have the energy after dealing with your own issues to be able to deal with someone else's. I mean, undiagnosed or untreated mental health problems can really make it hard to have good, healthy relationships. You know, there are plenty of people dealing, you know, I see a lot of people in general, but definitely women in particular that come in with toxic relationships with boyfriends or their husbands because their husbands have either some addiction or their husbands themselves are depressed or not taking good care of themselves, and then they end up taking it out on their women by being, wow, you know, irritable or aggressive in some way or just not really giving much to the relationship, and it can really take a toll. So, you know, both people really have to be aware of what's going on with themselves in order to actively love another person.
Yeah, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how do you balance all of that? I mean, having and I guess that's a good question. As you said, you take on other people's issues during the course of your work. And how do you leave work at work and, mm-hmm, you know, home at home? Because I know that can be a very interesting juggling act.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It takes some practice, you know, when you're for everyone, and not just, you know, doctors or folks in medicine, but you have to be active about it. You have to be proactive about it and say, okay, I dealt with, you know, today, for instance, I dealt with a lot of tears. I dealt with a lot of, you know, struggles, some really high blood pressure, some really high blood sugars. I was really, really worried and concerned about these folks, but I did my best. I felt like I really put in, you know, a good effort to help them feel better, to help them feel better, and I have to leave it because then I got to come home to a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and a wonderful husband who are waiting for me to smile walking through the door. So you have to be proactive about it and get yourself together. I remember my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, Miss Esther, said sometimes she would literally, she was a registered nurse in D.C. for years, and she had four wonderful children and a husband waiting for her at home after a difficult day in clinic. And she would tell me sometimes she would just, you know, get off work, go downstairs, get into her car, and just sit for a couple of minutes. Just sit. Just be quiet. You know, just kind of get her mind together so she could clearly differentiate between, okay, that was work. I'm going to leave that there, but I'm going to sit and kind of get myself together so I can be ready to give my energy to my family at home. So you just got to be proactive about it.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. She said a couple of minutes. I need at least an hour. Maybe I'm just slow.
I'll be home in a second. Mama's coming. And just get yourself together.
Good. Driving in the slow lane real slow, you know.
There you go.
They're like, where you been? Hey, man, I've been trying to get home. There's a lot of traffic out there.
I was in traffic. That's right. That's right. Sometimes I don't even turn the radio on just because I just wanted to kind of be quiet, just to have a little peace and quiet for a minute so that when I get home I can be kind of ready to deal with the wonderful, joyful noises that come with having my kids
at
home. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you got little ones, so I know they keep you busy.
Yeah, they're very loud, very happy and active and squealy and singy. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes I just keep it quiet in the car so I can be ready.
You end up saying some things sometimes out loud, like, oops, I didn't mean to say that one.
Right.
You know, and then they get older. And once they get older, you know, and then you start planning for their eventual exodus from your house, you know. And, congratulations to my son who graduated from high school last Tuesday, you know. So,
congratulations to you.
Countdown. Thank you. The countdown is on, you know. I'm like, man, what are you going to do? We're sitting there with our eyes wide open like, come on, pick something, anything. We don't care what it is. We'll support you in whatever you do as long as you move out of the house.
You're going to leave, right?
Yeah. You can always come and visit. You can always come and wash dishes if you want to. You can always come out and take out the trash. But it will be a two-person household here. And we're going to have some fun. And I can walk around how I want, when I want, and say what I want. Because there'll be nobody to kind of say, oops, wait, you know, I have to be careful about that.
Now, I'm already stressed out about that. Is that too early to get stressed out about the move?
Wait. You're stressed out about the move out?
Yeah, I have two girls. So, you know, we have to think about the world in a totally different way when you have girls. And I'm already kind of apprehensive about what's going to happen when they grow up and be grown women on their own, you know. So I'm already there.
Yeah.
I try
As long as you show them, and you know, your husband shows them what a gentleman is and a gentleman looks like, and they accept nothing less. You know, it'll be one of those things where some guys will have a hard time because when they try to run that little game, then your daughters will be like, well, you know what? You're nothing like my dad. My dad treated me no less than a queen, so I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You go that way. You're the weakest link. Goodbye. You know, it's one of the things where once they realize that, man, I can't get this over, you know, the game ends because it's not fun anymore. You know, like, she's not a challenge. I mean, she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they, you know, I mean, there are going to be some things as they get older that you're not going to be able to control. It's going to drive you nuts, you know, when it happens. But the only thing you could do is pray that they remember all of the things that was pushed upon them, I guess I should say, impressed upon them anyway. And they go back to, like we say in corrections, you know, you always revert back to your training. So it's one of them things where they'll start thinking, you know, at a couple of moments, they'll have a total lapse of memory. They won't think about anything, and they did it because they wanted to. But then when the brain kicks back in, it's like, uh-oh. Maybe I need to do this so that I don't get fussed at, beat up, or whatever.
Yeah, I know better. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You have to be strong, and there are going to be times where you're going to want to give in, or your husband's going to want to give in, and the other one is going to have to say no. You know, this
Hello?
Is what we talked about. This is what we're going to do. You still
Hello?
On, Mark? Hello?
I was trying to get Ty was trying to call me in, so I don't know if she's trying to call into the show or what, but I just had her call as well.
Is she back in the slammer again, bro?
I think she might be.
See, Dr. Swanee, you have to understand. Miss Ty Jones was in the slammer. No, I'm just playing.
Oh, no.
No, that's a running joke that we have because it looks like she was in the slammer. I guess it's a magazine with the people who get, you know, who get knocked off.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah, yeah,
and they
I'm
get
familiar.
Posted in there. So when we you know, when Ty's not here until she gets here, we always say she's at the slam and she's trying to get out. So I guess she's trying to pose bail for the night, and you know, she'll be with us shortly.
Okay.
Ty Jones, if you're listening, We are on your show, the voice of the people. You can call in at 914-338-0659. Talk to me, Dr. Swanna, and Mark Lee, the birthday boy. Or you can listen to us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Todd Jones, the voice. Just had to put that in there. So, you know, trying to call, see, you know, talk about people that show up. So, you know, she'll probably be on the line with us shortly. She'll ask you the good questions, like, you know, like.
Y'all have some good news. Questions.
So we try. You know what I mean? We don't understand from the woman's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what. Yeah, well, since I have the ears of some gentlemen, I think, you know, the important part of dealing with this whole superwoman complex is having a good partner on your side. And men are very important when it comes to that balance because, like I said, once those superwomen get to the point of asking for help, then, of course, their guys have to be willing to step in and help out a little bit. So not to say that they're not helping, not to say that they're not being helpful, but, you know, if you have to give the kids a bath a couple of times a night instead of mommy so she can kind of go to bed early, or, you know, if you have to, you know, pick up dinner so she's not always stressed out about what's the family going to eat, you know, every night, you know, you may, you know, have to step outside of your comfort level a little bit and do some of those quote-unquote stereotypical womanly things. If she's overwhelmed, you know. So hopefully I'm talking to two very enlightened men who already help their partners in that way, right?
Yeah, definitely believe in doing
You know what?
Do it.
Good point.
Fellas, take notes. Wash the dishes for no damn reason at all. Just
why not?
The floor. Clean up the house a little bit. And, you know, hey, man, if you got kids, little ones, help them. Now, this is the stressful part for God. Help them with the homework.
Yeah.
We don't have as much patience as mothers do. You know,
I can tell, yeah.
I remember being in there, and she was like, what in the hell is going on? And I was like, I'm trying to get him to understand this, and he's not getting it. And he's looking at me like, man, I do not understand a word you just said. And I'm looking at him like, man, you're going to be in the same grade next year. And then she'll sit down, and she'll explain all of those things, and then it's like, well, damn. Well, your mom sits there and explains. I said the same thing. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I just said it the way I understand it. You know, like.
Bless my husband's heart. So my 4-year-old, interestingly, is in preschool, and they already have homework, by the way, which is interesting. But, you know, she's learned a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Homework?
4.
In preschool?
4. In preschool, yes. So she's learning a lot, which is great. But
hey, preschool got
doctor,
homework. I'm dropping out.
Hey, doctor.
Yes.
Two things. One, I can definitely understand homework. I have no kids of my own, but I've dated young ladies with kids, and I've got 2 nephews, and they're actually first grade and second grade now, getting ready to be. So they went through that whole kindergarten thing in preschool, and yes, they did have homework early on in the whole day and everything. But I've got a question for you that comes down to kids and everything. Do you find that a lot of kids nowadays, I actually wrote about it in one of my columns because I also write a column, that too often they're getting caught up in not doing the things that we used to do, like not going out and playing games and getting too caught up in the whole video game culture and the whole computer culture, and therefore not having the same social interactions that we did because, you know, they might have a little bit at school, but then they're coming home and they're plugging into The Sims, they're plugging into Call of Duty, whatever the hot thing is, and you ask about going out to play a ball, they look at you like, what's that?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. And the even more relevant part to me in the medical field is childhood obesity. Mm-hmm. Because they're not going outside and playing like we used to, and there are even, interestingly, I didn't realize that there, you know, gym class, remember we used to all have gym class and recess?
Yeah.
That isn't going on a regular basis now. I had no idea.
No, they got rid of so much stuff. They got rid of gym class. They got rid of home ec. They got rid of vocational education. They got rid of a bunch of stuff that we used to have.
So they don't know how to. They don't know how to fix anything, cook anything, or lose some weight.
Right.
Exactly.
They know how to play video games, eat fast food, and sit down. Yeah. So
get a heart attack, go blind,
and
not critically think. Oh, okay.
That's right. That's we're getting diabetes earlier and earlier and earlier because of gaining too much weight younger, because we're not being active. And yes, you know, coming straight home and plugging in the iPad and being on the phone and all that has led to a lot of that. The other interesting thing I've seen a lot is carpal tunnel. You know how as adults we get carpal tunnel because we're typing all the time or we're, you know, doing repetitive motions, working with things. Kids are getting carpal tunnel now because they're playing with their thumbs on the phone all the time. Isn't that interesting?
And probably get it before they're 12.
Right. Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of medical stuff that comes out of that. So we just have to be better in general, be more active.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And with all of the things that the superwoman, I mean, I'm going back to it, but with all of the things that the superwoman has to do, how does that fit?
Balance. I don't know. You have to prioritize. You know, not everything is number one or two on the most important things I have to do in life list. Even though we think that everything is as important as the next, it's not. So, you know, does your four-year-old have to be in two or three extracurricular activities every, you know, season? No, it's not necessary. Now, you know, one good activity
that
they...
You're going to tell you it's too much.
Yeah, it's a little bit much. It's a little bit much. But nowadays, we're conditioned to think that our kids have to be so involved so early so they can compete. You know, they can compete with their peers, that they can be, make sure that they're well-rounded and all that. But, you know, some of those activities, number one, the kids don't want to do to begin with. Number two, it's too much on their young bodies, and it's, you know, it's too overwhelming. And number three, who wants to be responsible for having to take them back to multiple practices multiple times a week? And then your weekends are spent up because you're at all these sports events all the time. Relax. You know, so pick one that, you know, and maybe you need to take a break during, you know, the fall. Take a break. You know, don't have so many activities that are bogging your schedule down. So it's mostly about prioritizing what is the most important and taking a break. You know, sometimes it's okay to just sit and be quiet. You don't have to always be running all the time. You don't have to spend every hour and every minute of the day actively doing something all the time. You can rest. You can go to bed a little bit earlier, maybe. You know, not stay up till 1 a.m. watching Netflix every single night, you know.
And you mean that business women don't have to stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning to get their business done?
You don't have to. Not all the time. Yeah, you know, sometimes you have to grind.
Okay. So basically you heard it first here on the Voice of the People by Dr. Swana. Ladies, you do not have to stay up all night. You don't have to burn yourself out. And you can go back to the old school things of household chores, homework, and outside. And your kids will turn out just fine.
They'll be fine. They'll be all right.
It's going to be all right regardless, right?
And in the case of Dr. Swiner, it may just happen that one of her kids brings a nut home, but that's all right. You'll know how to handle it.
You're right. You'll be fine. It'll
exactly.
be all right.
Exactly. you'll learn something.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say, particularly for women is, you know, again, many of us are very career-oriented, very driven. We want to be successful if we're out in the work field and doing those things. But, you know, also realize that there has to be a balance between making the accolades and the money that we want to make, but then burning ourselves out on the back end. Making all the money in the world is not going to make you the happiest person in the world. And so you have to balance out, okay, well, I want to reach this goal, but I also want to be able to have some time off, have a family, enjoy my relationship, you know. So there comes a point in time when you may have to let some things go in order to have more time for those things that make you happy. And so you really have to be cognizant of what's most important to you in your life. So just, you know, take that time out.
So you mean to tell that some of these young ladies might not be able to have 4 or 5 jobs or 4 or 5 careers at the same time? They might have to settle down for just one or two.
they might, and just really excel in that one. Yeah.
Because I have seen some people that try to have like 5 or 6 or 7 different businesses and then wonder why they have no social life.
Exactly. And then they end up, you know, wondering why they're kind of unhappy and lonely and not having fun. It's because you're doing too much. And I understand there are certain times in life when we have to do that for a season. I mean, in medical school, it's horrible. You're grinding. You're doing what you got to do. But at least you're like, okay, well, I had these 4 years that life is just going to be miserable, and I have residency where life is going to be miserable. But at some point, I'm going to be able to have a real job, hopefully be able to set my own schedule. And when I'm off the clock, have fun and do something relaxing and get the rest that I need. You know, don't kill yourself trying to be perfect all the time. It doesn't work.
Now, just out of curiosity, because I've oftentimes been fascinated by this, and I know that when we met, I know some of your history, but not all of it. Now, is your husband actually in the same field? Is he also a medical person? Because sometimes that can add stress if y'all are in the same field, or like if he's a lawyer or some other profession. But he told me it's totally different.
Yeah, no, thank God he's not in medicine. No, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to come home and talk about the same stuff I was talking about at work. No, he actually, in his past life, was an anchor on television, on the news. So he was a newsman in D.C. at NBC, and then moved to Charleston, and then here in North Carolina was on the news with the WB before it became the CW. And when we met, he was just getting out of the news game, so he didn't want to be in front of the camera anymore. Essentially, he wanted to be behind the scenes, and he wanted to be in sales and marketing, and he started his own marketing and graphics design and t-shirt company from home. And he actually had a little bit of a Superman complex going on too when we first met. That, you know, he didn't even realize was happening until we ended up dealing with some really high blood pressures and some acid reflux and all of these things, and we were like, well, where is this coming from? You know, you're doing pretty well, you're happy, healthy, and we didn't really realize how much stress he was under, you know, and many of us go through that where there's stress, you know, either with a family, his, you know, father wasn't doing well at the time, so he was dealing with that stress and stress at work, and he wasn't really doing what he enjoyed doing, you know, in general at work, so that stuff just it creeps up in different ways, and usually it's in medical. We can see it with your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your weight, you're not sleeping. You know, all these are symptoms of possible underlying stress, and we said, you know what, you got to do something that you like. You know, you hate the craziness of the sales, you know, at this particular station. Let's sit down and really figure out what you're passionate about, what clearly we can make money with, but that you're not going to stroke out and leave us, you know, for. So thankfully we were able to restart and refresh, and he's now doing what he loves to do.
Well, that's a great thing. Just out of curiosity, we're going to change the topic just briefly, but you said he was from Charleston. What did he think about all this madness that was going on down there?
Well, no, actually, he's originally from D.C. I'm from Charleston. We met in Charleston. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're from Chucktown.
I am. So you're asking how do I feel about the whole Charleston 9 tragedy?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm deeply, deeply, deeply sad, and I'm really disheartened. It's unbelievable that kind of madness can happen in a place where you're supposed to feel safe and joyful and, you know, praising the Lord, and that kind of thing happens. It just makes me nervous for the future and for my children, you know, being of color. You know, what is that going to mean for them? You know, minding their business and doing positive things and, you know, having harm in their environment. I'm really saddened by it. Really sad.
And growing up, was Charleston a city that had those kind of racial tensions that you noticed, or was it something that just kind of like popped up? Because, I mean, everybody's trying to, I guess, analyze what had happened in Charleston, but was that something that was continuous? I mean, I know the Confederate statues that were there, but what was the racial dynamics like there?
So, yeah, it was. It was always underlying. It was never really blatant unless the Confederate flag was right in your face, which, you know, a lot of people had it on their license plates, and you saw some flags in people's yards and all that, but it was underlined. There was always this tone of historical racism that was always there, and so, you know, God bless. You know, I love my family that's there. I love Charleston for a lot of things, but it definitely wasn't, I knew early on that it wasn't the climate that I wanted to stay in. I wanted to kind of move to a more, excuse me, a more liberal way of thinking and living. So it was, there was always a little sense of it being there.
And definitely you found that in Durham, because Durham is definitely one of the more progressive cities in the whole state, if not the whole southeast, if not the nation. So definitely found a good place here.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, you know, I went to Duke undergrad, and interestingly, it was a very liberal thinking environment. You know, you kind of think of Big Duke as this very conservative place, and I'm sure every school has its problems, and certainly Duke does too, with some of the recent events that have happened there, but it really opened my mind a bit, and I was exposed to different cultures and different ways of thinking, and it was good for me to get that type of experience.
Okay. So, Dean, I think we lost Ty, but she hasn't gone back yet. I think she just decided to abandon us.
Maybe she's listening in, you know, trying to see what we do with the show.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? In fact, one thing we didn't do, Dr. Swann, if you would be so kind, if you could tell those that are listening how to find you, whether it be social media or, you know, anything like that. Hello?
Hello?
Doc, you still with us?
Oh, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah,
oh,
we're here.
So we lost her too. We thought you went to the Slammer too.
Are you there?
Yeah, we here. You.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yes, got
it. All right. We're still here. I was saying one thing we didn't do is if you could tell, you know, our listeners where you can be found, whether it be social media or what have you.
Yes. So I'm on docswiner.com. That's my website, docswiner.com. Also for those out and about, I am able to travel, and I'll, you know, come to you if you ever want me to come and speak with your group and organization, et cetera. But I'm on Facebook under the title of the book, How to Avoid the Superwoman Complex. The book is available on Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com. On Instagram, I'm Mrs. Swiner, and on Twitter, I'm Doc Swiner as well.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you can find Dr. C. Nicole Swiner, author of How to Avoid the Superwoman Complex. Now, Mark, where can they find you?
You know, they can always find me on Facebook. Just look up, type up the name. I believe it's under Bluesman62. And, of course, they can always find me by email, which is bluesradio@gmail.com. Always looking forward to hearing from our folks out there. So that's one way to get in touch with me. And like I said, I've got that column in the Durham News, and also can be found on a couple of other radio outlets as well. So definitely can be found out there. Just look up, type up Mark Lee, and you'll probably find me doing a variety of things in the cultural world, trying to do my best to let folks know what's happening.
Nice. Nice. And, of course, you know, you catch me if you can, like the gingerbread man, but I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at, you know, either.com/DeanGeronimo. And if you type it in on Facebook, you know what? I finally put a page up on that for that. So catch me if I'm there. If I'm there, I'm square. So, you know, we're doing something like that. And, of course,
and you know,
ladies and gentlemen, make good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I told Ty we probably do about an hour. Doesn't have to do the whole 2 hours. So I think that's what I told Dr. Nicole as well, so I think we're coming up on that, so we can actually get ready to wrap it up unless Ty just wants to call it the last second. So
at the buzzer, right?
I'm going to go out there and celebrate some birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to do it, man. You got to do it. You got like 3 hours left to get it in, but we're starting it off on the 1st of July. This is also my birthday month, so, you know, 20,
happy birthday.
What, 30? Yeah, thank you. 30 more days, and it's getting ready. The bomb will go off, you know what I mean? So.
Dean and Doc, I don't know what you're talking about. I learned a long time ago from my parents, who were good old-fashioned Geminis from May and June, respectively, that you're supposed to celebrate your birthday all month long. So this is just the beginning of the party. I'll plan the party until we get to your birthday.
I'm not mad at you, brother. You bring it in, I take it out. That's how we're going to do it. And exactly. Keep it going, you know. You have to, though. You have to, because if you don't, before we know it, we'll be like 80 years old saying, you know what, I was supposed to bring this birthday in like this and this birthday in like this. And somebody will say, you know what, sit down, old man. You know, you're going to stress yourself out. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing, you know. Each one that goes past, because some people don't get to see too many of them, you know. So
that's right.
Happy birthday again, my brother.
Thank you. And on those parting shots, I guess we need to let, because you usually do this, but I'm going to take the lead this time. I guess we need to let the doctor give whatever good words she wants to give to the fine folks out there, whatever advice she's got to give them, whatever fine thoughts she's got to give them as we get ready to close it out. I know you'll have something profound to say as well at the end.
Yeah. So, as always, you know, pray, be active, and go to sleep. Go to sleep. I love sleep. I dedicated a whole chapter to sleep in the first chapter of my book is about sweet sleep. Sleep is restorative. It's refreshing. The lack of sleep is associated with so many medical problems and mental health issues. Put the phone down, put the iPad down, turn the TV off, and go to sleep.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Birthday boy, what you got?
Like she said, you know, we just have to keep it real positive. These are some hard times that are out there, but we're going to keep it real positive and know that we're going to have positive thoughts, and that no matter what's going on, be it race relations, be it the relationships between the genders, be it even relationships across orientations, since that major decision was came down recently, that we're going to keep it positive and work on creating a world that's based on a song that's one of my favorites. I actually mentioned this in one of my Facebook posts, but a long time ago, John Lennon came out with a song called Imagine, and I still believe that we can imagine that world, and that's what I think we need to strive for.
There it is. Nothing wrong with that. Again, we want to thank you, Dr. Swana, Dr. C. Nicole Swana, MD,
for
joining us
this evening.
You know, author of How to Avoid the Superwoman Complex. Again, you can check her out at docswina, one word, docswiner.com, you know, and also check out the book, How to Avoid the Superwoman Complex, on, you said Amazon and some other places, but check that out.
BarnesandNoble.com,
you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, go get it, you know, and I'm going to leave out with a quote, and this quote actually comes from Mary Lou Henner. Some people may know who she is, some people may not. But she says, being in control of your life and having realistic expectations about your day-to-day challenges are the keys to stress management, which is perhaps the most important ingredient to living a happy, healthy, and rewarding life. So, you know, like Doc said, put the phone down, get off of Facebook, you know, all of those different things. And do what? Go to sleep?
Go to sleep. For goodness sakes, go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Tell my children,
you know what I'm saying?
Go to sleep.
Get your rest because, you know, fellas, as gentlemen, we appreciate when you ladies get that beauty rest because one of us has to continue to look good. Right?
That's
so,
right.
On that note, we thank all of our listeners for listening in. Catch us next week. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/Todd Jones The Voice. Calling in 914-338-0659 with Dr. Swana. It's Mark Lee, the birthday boy, and me, Dean Geronimo. Peace and blessings. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of the People. Catch us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/Todd Jones The Voice, or you can call in and join the conversation at 914-338-0659. Again, we thank you, we appreciate you, have a good night, and peace and love.
Let you stay. Gave you my heart and then you ran away. Either I'm stupid or foolish, and you're playing me. But it seems we were never really meant to be.
So I thought I would try something new.
I wanted to find out if I could live happy without you. Truly.